And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup, Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher, by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock God Rick Maxa.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. We got a great show coming for you this morning. We got the man, Brandon Hayward from One Man Charters and the Bite Journal going to be joining us. Pete Gray's out of the studio this morning. He's out having a great time. We're going to be talking all kinds of great fishing. You stay tuned. You're in for a great one. It's Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Mighty 1090.
The summer fishing season this year was nothing short of incredible, and everyone I talk to is expecting continued success well into the fall season. Your San Diego County Ford dealers are having a remarkable summer too, with no sign of slowing down. They continue to hook people up with a great selection of models that offer outstanding MPG and advanced technology, like the fun-to-drive Focus and the popular Fusion, available as a hybrid or a plug-in hybrid. Ford also has an impressive list of SUVs, like Escape, Edge, Explorer, and Expedition. Well, no matter what you need, Ford has an SUV for you. And for serious fishermen that have boats to haul and gear to move, you can't beat the Ford F-150. It's not only stronger than ever, it's 700 pounds lighter, so it's faster and more efficient. Bottom line, Ford cars and trucks and SUVs are built for San Diego. Stop by your San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Alaska is one of the ultimate fishing destinations in the world. This is Rock Cod Rick, and every year the one trip I look forward to is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. My dad and I have been going for over 15 years, and I just can't wait to go again. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, the finest fishing charter captains in all of Sitka, and the ultimate value. Sure, I've been to others, but time and time again, nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. You can catch huge halibut like the ones we do almost every year, and salmon? Well, Sitka is famous for some of the best runs in Alaska. We also get plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod, and when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. And listen to this, it's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except the tips. It's truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Come and join me on the Let's Talk Hookup trip in June, or just go when you can. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Meet the innovation award-winning Yamaha V6 Offshore 4-Strokes at 300, 250, and 225 horsepower. These Predators are up to 73 pounds lighter than the competition. And with class-leading 4.2-liter displacements, they're up to 19% faster and up to 17% more fuel-efficient at cruise RPM than comparable 4-Strokes. And now they're available with Hellmaster, Yamaha's fully integrated boat control system. Meet the next generation of Yamaha V6 Offshore 4-Strokes today at your local Yamaha dealer. Hellmaster available with V6 is purchased only as part of new boat packages from boat builder partners. Information is the key to success, and inside information is even better. When it comes to fishing, inside information is critical, and that's what FishDope.com delivers. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and save fuel. FishDope.com is the only SST service with a satellite oceanographic PhD on board, the only fish finding service with a spotter plane. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. FishDope.com boasts the largest code group anywhere, covering sport boats, commercial boats, and private boaters. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. What I'm telling you is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, good luck. Membership costs less than 40 gallons of gas for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, stay tuned for the special code to save $20 on a FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish. Burn less fuel.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. I said, pretty stoked having a rad day today with the guy sitting next to us. Brandon Hayward from the Bite Journal. Morning, Brandon.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man, you kidding me? Good to have you back. Not an easy time to peel a guy like Brandon away right now, so we're pretty stoked to come hang out with us as we're kind of getting into that fall season. And everybody talks about it. It's almost like the cliche thing to say, but it's the truth. This is my favorite time of year here. The crowds start to mellow a little bit. The weather usually starts to flatten out and stays pretty darn nice. It's kind of sweltering hot a couple weeks ago, and now it just feels like it's fall time.
The mornings have that kind of crisp semi-offshore and that special light you get on the mountains, like this morning. So
you almost have to think about bringing a sweatshirt when you go in the mornings. You don't need it, but you're going to bring it just to be safe, throw it in the backpack.
Yep, exactly.
And the fishing gets really cool, and what an exciting week of fishing it was around here with, you know, kind of tuna fishing for our sport boat guys. I wouldn't even say that it dipped, but it definitely wasn't the extreme wide open every day at the beginning of the week. And, boy, as we got into the latter part of the week, that fishing just got crazy, crazy good again. But with the fall comes all the crazy exotics that you start to see, and that's kind of happening right now. So it's fun times, man.
I think there's been no fewer than, in the last 7 or 8 days, there's been no fewer than 15 wahoo caught.
So crazy.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
They're around. I mean, it's a legitimate thing. Every time you jump, I mean, it's just like you said, it's not like it's wide open.
Right.
But every time you jump on a sport boat or a one-man charter trip, there is a shot at catching a wahoo.
Yeah, it's just incredible to think. And it's really interesting how, you know, we had that really good sample on them last year. And so it was just kind of a given this year, like, oh, well, when the Wahoo show up, and they did, they actually showed up.
Which, that's something that we should have never expected. Not ever.
Exactly.
It literally happened never before. And you're right, we all had the attitude like, oh, this fall, I'm going to troll Wahoo.
Yep.
No, it's not going to happen. It didn't happen twice. It's never happened ever before. Yeah. And they're around. Like, they absolutely are around.
And they're big. What's around is, like, full-on tanker Wahoo.
It's so cool.
Pretty neat. I'd be happy to get one.
No doubt. Has there been a marauder behind the...
I tried yesterday for the first time.
Okay.
Just kind of went up and down the 100 and 200 fathom curve. No bite or anything.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things you got to put in a lot of time or get really lucky. And we hear about the ones guys catch, like the one or two that get caught over a weekend, but you got to add up the collective number of skiffs that are out there. So there's a total of... whatever, a few hundred skiffs and two get caught, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's still not needle in a haystack. It's like single digits percentage.
Your shot of getting one, you have to know, is low. But the fact that there's a shot, and it's more than just a, you said it best. It's not just a, there's no way, you know, you would have to get the luckiest in the world. Like, sure, all those things have to happen. But if you're wired up and dragging the light lures, you're in the game for sure.
And I think if you've fished Wahoo or, you know, been on long range trips or if you have some experience with them, maybe you got a couple point edge or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know how fast to troll, you know where to put the jigs. But still, on the flip, then you'll come in after not getting one after 3 or 4 days and go like, I got one in the eyebrow on 20 pound in a sardine.
Yeah, I circle hooked him. He was looking at him. I got him and wound it right in. No problem.
Yeah. No, it's neat times, and it's cool to have something kind of new and exciting because tuna's just been biting forever. And yellowtail are like, I don't want to say they're the new mackerel to people, but remember... 5 years ago, if your buddy went out and caught 4 or 5 yellows in September, you'd be like, dude.
It's on.
Yellows are biting. Let's go.
Don't tell anybody.
Right,
it's on.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And now it's just,
Oh, sorry you missed.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're beautiful fish. So, no, good times
for
sure. Yeah.
Very, very fun. And, you know, we saw the same thing happen at the tackle store last year. The yellowfin fishing has been phenomenal. It's been really, really good, and a lot of anglers have been lucky enough to have several trips in a row where they got them, and now we're seeing the big increase of people getting into fishing poppers and skip jigs. And, you know, I've been on the prowler 3 times in a row, and I've had limits all 3 times, and I want to do something different. And, you know, especially when the tuna, you know, and the size has ranged from small ones to nice ones, but when there's a lot of that football size grade around, and you know that you're going to get them, it sure is fun to branch out and do different things, flat falls and colt snipers, and, and there's not probably a more fun way to catch them than on those poppers.
Yeah, the visuals. Yeah, I mean, what's happening right now is kind of my definition of El Nino fishing. A lot of small tuna, big Dorado on kelps. Crazy kind of oddities, the wahoo, a spearfish, we hook 3 marlin, that type of stuff. This is definite El Nino fishing now.
It's fun. It's fun, and when you get the right kelp, it's crazy good fishing. But with that said, too, you still need to find it. You know, I mean, it's not just drive out and put the jigs behind the boat and just wait to get stopped. I mean, you still have to still got to be in the right zone. You still got to find the right one. And,
yep.
you know, when you talk to guys during the week, there's still misses that happen. But when you get the right one, it's game on.
My thought on this offshore season was everyone kind of got enamored by, like, it's wide open because they hear the highlight reel of it.
Sure.
But it was also relatively easy to miss. And I thought on any given weekend, like, a lot of times more skiffs were not catching tuna in local waters than were, given the crowd and just everything else.
Sure.
I'm not taking anything away from the season. It just, a lot of times, like, it got overhyped. But what was available was incredible. The grade of the fish. And if you found the right one, you were going to just get into an absolute ripper. But you had to find it first. And pulling into a little parking lot of 20 or 30 boats, you're never going to get into that ripper. You know what I mean?
You're going to pick away, maybe, but you're not going to get the...
Excellent season. 50 years from now, when I look back on it, it'll definitely be one of the best, I'm sure. But I don't think at any point this year, local, within 20 miles from the coast, it was just the type of deal where you just, like, go out, stop, load up, go in.
Yeah.
That happened a lot, but it wasn't a given.
Yeah, it wasn't a guarantee. The thing that was so exciting about this year, and I think still continues that the possibility will be there, is there was some real killer quality that has happened, and is still happening. But,
yeah.
I mean, when could you legitimately have a 16-foot Greger and launch out of Oceanside Harbor and, I mean, absolutely have a legitimate shot at a 50-pound yellowfin?
Incredible. Oh. No, there was weeks on end where you thought it was the style of fishing like you're at Guadalupe or Alejos, 45 to 70-pound yellowfin biting.
I know that that's – I don't know if it's – whether you call it a specialty of yours or just something that you really like to do, but I know that you definitely are. You're known for – that's the style of charter operation that you, I would guess, that you like to do when it's available is high focus on the quality. Maybe lesser
exactly.
quantity and higher on the quality, I would say, sums up my opinion of a one-man charter.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, when there was that bluefin fishing going on a couple weeks ago, that was, like, the perfect situation. You could fly the kite. They were big, beautiful fish. It was a lot like sea bass, where if you caught four or five, your trip was made because they weigh 50-plus pounds, you know? So that's the type of stuff that I love to do.
That's cool. So tell us about the charter operation. I mean, we obviously have had you on the show a bunch of times, a good friend of the show. We talk
sure.
about you a bunch. But you know, I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there that have maybe read your column in the past and won or love the Bite Journal and read all the great stuff. And we'll definitely talk more about that. But tell us about your charter operation and the type of fishing that you do.
My sauce is coastal white sea bass. That's what I do the most of. It's definitely my favorite fish to catch, and if I could only pick one thing to do for the rest of my life, that would be it. I just love fishing for them. I know it's not for everyone, but when you strip everything else away, man, that's still the one fish in Southern California waters that you can go out and catch that's 50-plus pounds.
Totally.
Not every year do we have big tuna. Never can you go out in February and have a shot at, like, a 50-pound-plus fish that you could, you know, bring home and put on the table. So that's what I enjoy doing. This year was different from past years in that there were no squid nests and it wasn't a squid grounds type fishery, which I loved because it just stripped a lot of... I loved it and I loathed it because the squid grounds thing was, dare I say, a little bit easy at times.
Sure.
Definitely an element of challenge to it. And if you were good at the little things like tackle, rigging, staggering your lines, figuring out water depth when it was that squid nest thing, you'd do better than most. But when you strip that away, now it became like a kind of... structure base, cat and mouse. It just changed a lot this year.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of fun playing around with that. Did not catch as many white sea bass this year. Last year I caught whatever it was, 250 or something, and this year we're in like the 120, so I caught half as many. So you can view it through the lens of like, oh, you caught half as many, that was a poor season, or you can view it through the lens of like, nobody was really catching them.
Yeah, there was 200 on the coast caught, and you
right,
got 100 of them.
Right, right. And so that part of it I really, 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 really enjoyed. The fish were big, got a couple 68-pounders. I caught my first 70-pounder myself, rod and reel. So I had a blast fishing sea bass this year, and I'm really looking forward to next year because I like the setup. And I do that from April until, like, mid-July, and then I'll do the offshore thing tail end of July, August, September, and then October coming up as I do lobsters, a lot of lobsters. And I fish, too, but,
yeah.
You know, I wasn't even into lobsters until 3 or 4 years ago. I didn't really get it. I was like, why would you want to pull on something that doesn't pull back? But now I love trap fishing, hoop fishing.
Yeah.
It's fun. And it's just like any other type of fishing, reading bottom structure and kind of figuring out the little things.
And
I really enjoy it.
And it's fun in its own, it's definitely uniquely awesome way. You're absolutely right. It's so much fun, the anticipation of the thing coming up, how you set the boat up.
Yep.
And I think that... I think that a big thing on going fishing with you is it's a unique scenario where, one, from the most basic thing of you're a great guy to go fishing with and a lot of fun and have had a great success rate and a lot of fun, but also from a guy who's not necessarily the person who needs a guide or something like that, there's a lot to learn from. And I've had a lot of buddies who fish their own boat and they fish and are who I would definitely consider good fishermen who said they really enjoy going with you because you're a guy that likes to share the info, what you're doing. Like, you enjoy talking about how you set up on spots. And a guy who might be an even more advanced fisherman enjoys fishing with you like you would any other buddy sharing info. Like, this is what I like to do. This is how I like to set up.
That's good to know. I look at it like this. The old adage, like, you can't control if they bite or whatever. But when guys come on the boat, I want them to walk off, like, learning something, if that's what they want to do. I never force info on people or say, like, oh, man, you're doing it all wrong, you know? Yeah. But if they ask and they want info or they come into it saying, like, hey, we really want to learn today, then I'm going to kind of dump it on them. And one of the big things with me this year, especially fishing a lot of offshore, I like to kind of help people scrub their bad habits away, because people come on the boat and they've been doing things a certain way, like setting hook on slack line or something like that. And it's just they've kind of always done it that way. But if you can kind of help them break some of those bad things down, it's always about what to do in fishing.
Sure.
How, where. But if you can kind of, like, break down the, like, do more of the, like, don't do this type stuff, I think it's going to help even more sometimes. So
what's the number one bad habit that you see?
Hook sets. Okay. Early hook sets, like, not getting tight. You're never tight. Like, bite and gear, set the hook, right? You know how it is? Like, a tuna is taking off really, really fast. If you made a rule for yourself that I'm, like, never going to set the hook ever again on a tuna, you could probably get by and be okay versus swinging. I'm all about setting the hook, but you got to get tight on them first. Mm-hmm. You got to put it in gear, and you got to, like, wind into them or put it in gear, and the fish is usually moving so fast it's going to bend the rod for you and then give them a little pop. But I just see a lot of guys, they come on, they get bit, and they just immediately set the hook. Mm-hmm. And that's just disastrous with sea bass or halibut. Because the fish isn't swimming off fast enough. You've got to wind down, tighten up on them, and pop them.
Sure.
So that's probably the worst thing. And that's hard to hard to scrub away, because someone's been doing it for decades. Mm-hmm. What did our dads teach us? Like, the bobber goes down, set the hook, or whatever it is. Nibble, nibble, set the hook, right? So that's a biggie.
That's cool.
That's a biggie, yeah. And then, you know, the surface iron fishing or your jig fishing, the, like, Pavlovian response is to set the hook.
Sure.
But you want to turn the handle.
You got to bite. I want to get that hook into them.
Yep.
But the hook's going to get into them regardless.
Regardless.
The swing maybe is good to help assist it, but it's probably more for ourselves rather than anything else. Like you said, that's a great thing to say. If you never swung again versus swinging too early, you'd probably have twice as many.
I think so.
You know, just winding them on.
Those tunas, man, they eat your bait. Watch an underwater video of tuna sometime. They're zipping by, you know. So they eat your bait, and they're going 25 miles an hour. Like, your little hook set isn't doing much.
That's cool. Well, I know you've had an awesome season on the boat, and definitely want to talk more about that. But the other thing that we're so excited about is Bite Journal. Things have been going awesome. Absolutely the funnest read when it comes out. It's one of the few things that I full cover to cover and really dig it. And it's been exciting to watch it grow and become what it's becoming, and how's things going with the Bite?
Bite's good. We shipped the most recent issue to the printer about 2 weeks ago.
Ooh, that's exciting time.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. So it was a fun juggling match of, like, daily charters to going home and working on the Bite at night for a couple hours. But I love doing that thing. It's, like, really fun. It's everything that I love in writing and editing, and it's just a great project for me. So it's a lot of fun.
The Bite is a very unique. It's a very unique entity. Like, it's just different from what else is out there. I know you always say it's more book than magazine.
Yeah.
But it's a very unique in-depth thing that just doesn't exist out here right now, and it sure is fun to get to see.
Yeah. I always say it's not. I never say it's, like, better than anything that's out there. I have the best saltwater fishing magazine. It's just like you said, different long-form journalism, and we have real limited advertising, and I'm super fortunate to have definite top-tier advertisers and sponsors. But since we have such limited advertising, it's kind of like an edit playground, so we can kind of explore things that don't usually get explored.
Sure.
With big, long features, and since the edit isn't tied into ad dollars or anything, you can really have free rein on stuff, which is fun.
I have my favorite thing that you guys have done so far is, it seems like it's a bit of a theme, and maybe it's just that's what's been lucky, but I've really dug the interviews that you have with different people throughout the time, and it's always been on somebody who's kind of quiet, kind of the man, like the guy that you never talk about. You talk to Randy and Alan Watson, like those guys that are just amongst the fishing community know, well, that's the guy, you know, that's the guy that does it, but they're never the beat their chest. You don't know anything right. about them, and I really dig that every time that you've done it so far.
Same. My goal is to always, from people to open it up, always be surprised. Like, yeah. whoa. So that means you want to take characters that would usually fit the mold and maybe find someone a little bit, the yeah. quieter guy or the guy that has never bought an ad anywhere or something
sure.
like that, you know?
It,
and I have a lot of respect for both those guys, and they were just really good fits. And you'll definitely see a lot more of that. And this next issue has some really surprising stuff.
Okay, cool.
I never want to say, like, this is the best or whatever, but of the three, this is the best one we've done so far. And this,
cool.
whereas the last two people are like, I don't know how you're going to beat this one. I don't know how you're going to beat this one. Like, I'm thinking to myself, like, there's certain things that I would have done different after looking at
sure.
it. Or, you know, I'm still growing into this role. But this one is really good, man. Like, it came out
awesome.
It came out tight.
Well, we're excited yeah. about hearing that. We're excited about hearing from you today. It's going to be an awesome show, tons to talk about, and we want to have you join us this morning, man. If you want to give us a call on the show, talk to Brandon. You got questions, we would love to answer them for you. Give us a call and let's talk hookup this morning. There's two ways that you can do that. And first is with our local line, which is 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. That's the local number. Or you can try us toll-free. That toll-free line, 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. Going to be an awesome show today, packed full of great information. And Brandon is giving us a very, very cool prize. Check this out. The end of the show today, one lucky caller is going to win a lifetime subscription to the Byte Journal. So for the rest of the time that Brandon's making this awesome journal, you're going to have an opportunity at every single issue that comes out from here on. And that's really, really cool, man. We're stoked to and very, very generous of you to do so.
Yeah, no problem.
That's awesome.
There's two a year, so, you know.
You got them coming.
You got them coming.
Hey, well, it's going to be a great time again. 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great information coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Want to catch the yellowfin tuna of a lifetime but don't have weeks at a time to commit trying? Then check out Journeyman Sport Fishing in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Based in Nuevo Vallarta, Journeyman offers an angling dream come true. Outstanding world-class fishery, immaculately maintained and outfitted boat, ultra-limited competition at the rail, and a Journeyman crew that has the experience and passion to make your angling dreams reality. A 2.5-day trip offers 2 full days of fishing from sunup to sundown and only requires 4 days away from your other commitments. In the 2013 season, Journeyman landed dozens of yellowfin over 200 pounds and several over 300. Choose the trip that fits your schedule. 2.5, 3.5, up to 8 days of the ultimate fishing for giant yellowfin tuna. For complete details, check the web at journeymansportfishing.com or contact 619-571-1979. Journeyman Sport Fishing, where angling dreams become reality.
I'm very excited to share my experience with the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 touchscreen chart plotter and sonar unit I just installed on my boat. I've been a Simrad Electronics fan for many years and always enjoyed the ease of use and incredible technology. Last year I installed the new 4G broadband radar and could not believe the difference. So this year I upgraded to the new NSS Evo 2 and it's amazing. With an easy to use tablet style interface that's fresh but familiar, the Simrad NSS Evo 2 combines a multi-touch screen with push-to-select rotary dial for precision control and speedy response. The core of any marine electronic for me is how it marks fish, and the new NSS Evo 2 with built-in sonar hub sounder technology, including chirp and structure scan, can't be beat. Now, the true test is whether I need to pick up the manual to figure it out. And guess what? The new Simrad gear is so easy, I didn't need it. There's a lot more to the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 system I'd like to tell you, but best to just go to your local Simrad dealer and check it out. Or see simrad-yachting.com. for more details.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, El Gato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half. three-quarter and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Rancho Leonero was awarded the Certificate of Excellence from TripAdvisor for four straight years. Especially interesting, most hotels are just hotels. And most people stay in the hotel and go do their activities elsewhere. Rancho Leonero, of course, provides fishing, diving, all activities, all meals, your whole vacation. So the fact that we're so highly rated, we're very proud of it. From picking you up at the airport to dropping you off, literally everything is turnkey from there. We make it as easy as we can for you at the ranch. From your meals to whether you're going to go fishing or diving or just hang out by the pool. When you're coming to Rancho Leonero, you are coming to John Ireland's home. I guarantee the best fishing vacation experience in all of Baja. It's unique. There's nowhere that I could think of to get the same experience that you get at Rancho Leonero. Our new reservation phone number is 800-646-2252, 646-BAJA, and RanchoLeonero.com. It's really unique. It is. We're very proud of it.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up on the Mighty 1090. Everybody is fired up wanting to talk to Brandon. We're going to do that, man. We're going to jump right into it. Phones are absolutely packed solid. Again, if you want to get your chance, talk to Brandon, 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. Let's start it off with Matt, who's calling us from La Mesa this morning. Good morning, Matt. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Okay, as if I'm not geeked up enough about my 7 day in a week from now, I can't wait to go catch another sea bass with you next year, Brandon.
Well, I look forward to having you back, man.
My mom and I had so much fun this year, and I got to say, for everybody listening out there, if you're looking to catch a trophy fish, Brandon is the guy to go with, period. You know, I mean, you're fishing for one bite, as he says, and just thanks for, you know, the years of sea bass fishing with you, and I love it.
I like having you on the boat, and you're like, you're the perfect guy to come out, because you've fished a lot, caught a lot of fish. You can appreciate the fishery and the size of the fish. You can keep your mouth zipped when I tell you to. And, you know, you've done everything. You've done a lot of fishing in your life, but this is one thing that hasn't really been accessible to you before, you know, so you're like totally, totally my guy. And you fish really hard when you come out, and I appreciate that.
That's what's okay. Go ahead,
thank
Matt.
You. Thank you, and congratulations on your 6 feet of white meat.
Thank you.
That was a very sweet fish. I wish I could have joined you on that journey.
Yeah, that was a special fish in a really special place to me, so it was neat to kind of get that big one for sure.
That's one thing that I think is super cool about the style of fishing that you do is, first off, hey, it's sea bass, and they don't decide to be everywhere all the time,
right.
And you keep an extremely flexible schedule. And I think are, to a fault of your own, way too flexible with your charter customers.
I
as
agree.
In, hey, guys, I know that our charter is booked for this Wednesday, and sure, I'm willing to take you if you need, but let me reschedule, which means you're going to lose that charter and make $0 and then book them on another day when you probably could have booked someone else, but
yep.
It's your goal to put them on that fish.
Sea bass are different than other stuff. I mean, there's kind of this, like, quadrant of things you need work in your way, and if you take two of the four things out or whatever, you're just like not going to catch them.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to go if it's like that. It does bite me a little bit in that, you know, I do lose a day that I could do later on or whatever. I hope it helps with customer loyalty, but it also hurts me too because you'll reschedule someone or you'll say, hey, let's reschedule, but then I'll be full for 2 weeks. So they start biting, and then I can't take the people
sure.
that I rescheduled. So now you're kind of a semi bad guy because, like, I heard you, you know. Some photos come out a month later or whatever down the road. Like,
yeah.
I heard you were getting them. Why didn't you call me? It's like, it's not a personal thing. Like, I was full for those 2 weeks. I got you down for next
yeah.
week or whatever. So you can't totally. It's a really tricky fishery, and I have to walk this really weird line that probably only I understand. You know what I mean? From, like, the way you share info and just marketing and just everything.
The other thing that I really like is you'll be in Oceanside in a day, and we're going to launch out of here, and then.
Yep.
Couple days before phone call gets up, because we've had guys that come through the tackle store and say, hey, I'm going to Brandon, and now we're going out of Dana Point, or we're
right.
launching out of Mission Bay, or, you know, you tailor the trip around what's going to provide the best fishing.
Yeah, you have to, because if you're fishing kind of the local structure and kelp spots and you know that's not working and you get a wave in from someone or you hear something, not that that's happened the last couple of years, but you got to just, like, make hay and move.
Yeah.
So I've caught sea bass from, like, I've gone around the corner of Point Conception to fish before.
And
I've
caught
them
in
northern Baja. So, like, the full expanse of the bite, I've fished for them. I haven't exactly caught them in every spot, but I've fished for them. That's how you have to be. And I know that moving forward with warmer water and less squid and whatever, the next couple of years you're definitely going to have to be willing to get mobile, too.
Yeah.
But I like that part. Like, you're learning so much doing that, and it keeps it really new and fresh for me.
I'm sure it keeps you very sharp. You know, when you're going, you know, when you're going somewhere that's out of your comfort zone, it's got pluses and minuses. Obvious pluses of fishing where you fish, you know, every nook and cranny.
Yep.
But the opposite is, you know, when you go to the same stock spot all the time, you're probably not paying nearly as much attention to the little nuances.
Right.
The little nuances is sea bass fishing.
Exactly. Exactly. Recall is a real powerful thing with fishing and the way you set up on spots and just kind of checking stuff out. So, for sure. For sure. Like, I went up north this year. There was a little bit of squid somewhere and had really good fishing. And then I got lucky and, like, stumbled onto a little spot and had, like, phenomenal fishing. But all of that squid ground stuff that we've been doing down here for the last 5 years, when you can take your tactics here and bring it to, like, Northern California and try it, like, it works really good. Really, really, really good. So, yeah, it's just all part of the deal. But thanks for that, Matt. I appreciate it.
Matt, you ready to go again?
Oh, I can't wait. And on my 7-day, there's two fish I'm looking for this year. One is the Wahoo for the obvious reason. And the other thing I'm going to try is the method that we fish the sea bass on, because I've been reading about they've been getting some good-sized sea bass down around Cedros and Geronimo in that area. So I thought I'd give the Hamburguesa rig a go this year on that trip, and who knows, see what I come up with.
I like it.
Matt,
I
will say, if you're going on a 7-day anytime soon, and we're going to hear from some of those guys later on in the show, I'm not sure how many jigs and bombs that you have in your collection, but I can tell you right now that it's not enough. Because it's real good.
Incredible, yeah.
The fishing that's happening for those fish right now is just, it's certainly not like anything I remember. You know, and I've been at the landing for a number of years now, and I don't ever remember scores like this on 5 days. You know, a 5-day trip is designed to catch yellowtail and a couple tuna, and seeing huge numbers of wahoo this close to home, it's incredible. So it's been a lot of fun.
It's not just like one little chunk, like, oh, they're over here. It's like, seriously, from, you know, call it below sea, the very northern range of wahoo usually. Like, I remember late September's, October's catching wahoo on kelps, like outside of Punta Eugenia, outside Cedros. That's no longer the, like, northern end. That's like the southern end of what's going on. It's really interesting.
And who knows how much is above that even, you know what
right.
I mean? Because there's no target of them. And, you know, I mean, they're obviously up to Dana and above. You know, it's exciting, Matt. If your goal is to catch a wahoo, I think you're in for a great trip. We can't wait and stoked for you, man. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
I appreciate that very much. That's what's so exciting about the fall is like you say,
exactly.
Exotics and all these other things that go on right now. And for, you know, for a 5-day trip, I remember, you know, what I remember the most was super hot, end of August, beginning of September at Guadalupe on a 5-day. Oh, my gosh, you know, this boat had five or they had seven, and they probably had 20 bite-offs.
I remember those trips,
That was big deal. You know, on a 5-day trip, they had wahoo. And now, you know, you're hearing all four marauders went off, and we had a hit for 25, and then we picked away at another 35 throughout the day. It's just, it's around.
And everything to go with it like that, I don't pay attention to long-range fishing as much as I used to, just because it's not part of my day-to-day kind of, like, writing routine. But some of those scores that happened midweek there were just incredible. Like that Indy report, sea bass at night, 79 wahoo, limits of tuna and a bunch of yellows maybe. I don't know what the count was total, but it was, like, a lot of everything.
And the yellow and the tuna they're catching down there is, like, it's great grade. It's 35-pound average, you know, fish to 50 pounds and... It's just so cool what's going on right now. And I think it just bodes well for that to keep rolling along. I mean, there's just no reason that we won't continue to experience that fishing all the way throughout the fall.
Yeah.
It's exciting times for sure. Hey, let's jump back into the phones. This time we're going to talk to Tom, calling us from San Diego. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Well, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Tom?
Good. My question is, you know, you hear a lot about the different hooks and the ring, the circle, and then you go on, especially the, you know, the 3/4 day overnight, and most of those deckhands say, we just use J hooks. So can you expand a little bit on, your choice of hooks and what situations you'd use different hooks?
Well, Rick can kind of finish off on this one because he knows more about that type of stuff. I think you got to think about, like, confidence. Like, I like brands of anything or, like, any sorts of brands. What do you like, Bud Light or Coors Light or, you know? Yeah, yeah, Ballast Point or Stone, Ballast Point.
Yeah.
So it's just like you got to go with what you're confident in. And this is my thing about fishing. And, like, when guys come out on the boat and they say, hey, I'm going to use this or I'm going to do this, I'm down for anything.
Sure.
But I ask them, like, well, why? What's your reason for using this? I'm going to put on a sinker. Sounds great, but why? Right? Or, oh, because I want to get my bait down into, like, the 100-foot range and you're marking fish, then perfect. So if you're going to use a type of hook, I'm going to use that type of hook because I have a reason to use it, right? So if, usually for me, if I'm going to use a ring on a hook, I'm using that for, like, my heavier pound test because it's easier to tie with your 100 or your 130 or something like that. Or if I'm going to use a lighter wire hook, it's because the bait's really beat down. In a perfect world, the fish are biting good enough that you can use an oversized hook and just, like, impale your bait on there and get a bite, you know? So sometimes I think we overthink stuff in fishing a little bit where it's, like, basic stuff is really good. And I always say, like, if people didn't worry as much about, like, the perfect hook, the perfect this, and just really focus on their, like, casting, bait presentation, putting a bait on a hook skills, mm-hmm. I think they would do better.
Day in, day out, do you find yourself fishing circle hooks or J hooks, one over the other more often than another?
For
or
local,
do you let that change?
For local fishing, I use J hooks, mm-hmm. you know. I didn't have good timing on those big bluefin, so the one that we hooked was on a circle hook, and we still got chewed off, you know.
Sure.
If I knew I was going for that straight, like, bigger bluefin, 70 to unlimited, I would go with circle hooks and rig everything up. But for our day-to-day local fishing, J-hook, mm-hmm. and getting back to that hook setting thing, when I get bit, I'm usually just, like, pointing the rod at the fish, or I have my tip up, and I just put it in gear, and it all comes tight so fast that you get them in the corner of the mouth most of the time anyways.
I would say that is so true. If you fished a circle hook, if you fished a J-hook the same way that you had a circle hook, a true 9 times out of 10, it winds up in the exact same spot as
yep.
a circle hook would every time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do a ton of rod holder fishing for sea bass and yellows and all that other stuff. So a lot of the fish are getting hooked, like, in the rod holder. The boat's hooking the fish. So you're not setting the hook. It's just the fish swimming away that's hooking itself. And you hook those fish in the corner of the mouth the vast majority of the time.
There you go. Tom, yeah. Great question. Appreciate the phone call very much. Hey, it's time to find out what's going on in the Baja right now. We got the cast man, Richard Castaneda from Castor, standing by. This report sponsored in part by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything you need to go fishing. A complete saltwater tackle store. Full deli. They have trips and six-pack charters, including the brand-new Blackjack, a perfect four-pack. And when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle, full of all the freshwater tackle and live bait that you need for a great day on the lake. Looks awesome, too. Newly expanded East County Bait and Tackle. If it's been a while since you've been in, you got to go in and check out the store. There's a lot more room, a lot of room to breathe. It's an awesome, awesome job they did at East County Bait and Tackle. Dana Landing is right across from SeaWorld, next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay, and East County Bait and Tackle. It's at the end of the 67 Freeway at Mapleview and Lakeside. Check out danalanding.com for more information. Let's talk to the cast man, Richard Castaneda from Cast Tours. Buenos dias, cast man.
Buenos dias, Ricky. How's everything going?
Cast, we're doing awesome up here. Good fishing going on, and just want to know if it's continuing to bite down in the Baja.
Yeah, well, you know, the hottest area of all of Mexico has been that southern tip, you know. Anywhere from La Paz all the way down to Cabo San Lucas, East Cape. You know, the fish are there's a lot of tuna right now. And, you know, we talked about the Gordo Bank holding those big boys. And there's, you know, guys that want to spend the time, they're there, you know, either using a live bolito or live skipjack, even those big giant squid that's available for purchase, and just chunking those have been kind of the best way to attract those big tuna. Seems like every day they're pulling out one. It could be 100, 150, or it could be a 300-pounder. But if you want to spend the time, you want a big fish, that's the place to go. Also, the banks have been blue and black marlin. One more thing, too, is that a lot of billfish in the area. They're getting quite a few sailfish. Quite a few striped marlin. Like I said, we're getting blues, they're getting blacks. Well, that whole area down there is just probably the best place to go in Mexico at the moment. And I look for it to get better as we get into October and November. That southern area just picks up. And like I said, plenty of tuna. Up in the Sea of Cortez, the Iman Bank, Santa Maria are very, very good for the smaller tuna. anywhere from 15 to 50, 60 pounds. And those have been there for a couple of months now. It's just it's amazing how that one area is just holding fish. So this goes to show there's plenty of bait around there. But that's going to be the report. Just, you know, that area there has just been the only place in Baja that or Mexico that we're getting the reports from where the fishing is good. You know, they're we're getting into that fall time when Z1 Tanejo starts picking up. And come October, you'll see the reports that I'll be giving from there starting to pick up, because that goes into the winter, and that's probably one of the hottest spots in Mexico to fish during the winter months. A good time to get out of the cold areas, you know, when we're getting the rain, which we're supposed to get, hopefully.
Good place to
get down there.
Good place to dry out and thaw out. It's been super interesting seeing the East Cape, what it did with the water. You know, it was so hot at home this year, and you saw that water start to spike down in the East Cape, and you kind of cringed and gulped, thought, oh, man, it's going to be a tough one for those guys. And then it just leveled off at, like, a perfect hot temperature, not too hot. And, I mean, it should be continuing to climbing and being hotter than it is, and it's just been steady, level, great fishing down there, and it's great to see for those guys down in the East Cape and Cabo.
Yeah, exactly, and just to give you a quick report here, I mean, of course, I'm up here at our place in Oregon, and we're on the Sayusta River here in Florence, Oregon, and been out 2 days now, and the silvers are in, you know, and starting the I'm trying to think of the date here. The 15th of September, you can actually keep the native, or you can keep a, you know, fin clip, a hatchery fish. And so anyway, the fish has been pretty good. They're coming in here now along with the kings, and we've been out 2 days, and we've got our limiter silvers each day, and it's going well up here. Beautiful weather, flat. I'm looking at the river right now, as flat as can be, and boats are heading out. So
Harry must not be in town if the fishing is that good, Cass.
That's true. Anyway, but as soon as we hang up, I'm gonna get ready to go. We're gonna go out again today, so give it a go.
Castman, go get them. Sounds like great fishing to be had up there, which we're happy for you guys, and great fishing to be had in the Baja. If somebody wants to book a trip, get in on any of the fun that we do through Cast Tours, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, you want to join us on that Christmas Island trip next May? Give us a call at Cast Tours, 800-593-6510, or check us out on the web at www.casttours.com. And Ricky, I'll talk to you next Saturday.
Great report, Cass. Appreciate that. Go get us some salmons.
All right, we'll do, man.
Appreciate that. Okay, that report again, sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Great fishing means it's time to call Fisherman's Processing. If you're on a private boat, call them the day before you go to make arrangements to drop your fish at the dock or at their Liberty Station facility. You can check them on Facebook at Fisherman's Processing, or for more details, check fishermansprocessing.com. And when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more of this great information. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Here's what clients are saying about Rick Jensen and the Sport Fishing Financial Group.
My name is Jerry Farmer, and I live here in San Diego. Rick Jensen has successfully managed investments for me for the past 15 years. Before Rick, I worked with financial advisors that led me into bad investments and hid kickbacks they were receiving on the investments. Rick has demonstrated through his attentiveness to my account a great feeling of responsibility to do well for his clients. With Rick, his compensation is reasonable and clear, as are the benefits for the client. For the past 15 years, the cost-benefit ratio has been greatly in my favor.
After learning about Rick and his background and what he's done for his clients, I'm on board. I just opened my own account with Sport Fishing Financial, and I'm very excited about the opportunity.
This is Rick Jensen with Sport Fishing Financial Group. Work with me and learn what I can do for you as an investment advisor, and let's go fishing. Give us a call or find us on the web for a complimentary risk analysis, current portfolio analysis, or business retirement plan proposal. Call 949-481-1807 or visit us at sportfishingfinancial.com.
Pete here to tell you about one of my favorite long-range boats, perfect for day and a half to 7 day trips. That's Searcher Sport Fishing. The Searcher offers a top of the line long range experience at the best value available. The 95 foot Searcher features huge bait capacity, RSW fish holds, and plenty of room at the rail. Chef Charles puts out a spread you will be impressed with, and staterooms are air conditioned and super comfortable. The crew, top of the line. Check SearcherSportFishing.com for more details and book online today. That's SearcherSportFishing.com.
For East Cape fishing, Jen Wren is known as the best. This is Mark Rayer. Great service, top quality equipment, including all accurate reels, CalStar rods, and Cibran electronics, has put my immaculately maintained twin-engine cruisers in a class of their own. For memories of a lifetime, just bring your hat and sunglasses, and we'll provide a fishing experience that will exceed your expectations. Our calendar's filling fast, so don't miss out. For packages, two live webcams, a weekly fish report, and more, check out TeamGenRen.com. We pick up at all East Cape resorts, so let's go fishing.
Hey, this is Captain Paul Hebert from the Wicked Pisser. My brother Bruce and I make a living catching giant bluefin tuna. In fact, I wouldn't even go fishing with any other sunglasses than Maui Jim. Put a pair of Maui Jims on and instantly the glare is gone, the UV that can damage your eyes is gone, the ocean's true colors come shining through like never before. And with more contrast and clarity, you can see the bluefin at that critical time. Take it from me. Try a pair at your local tackle shop or check out MauiJim.com. You won't believe your eyes.
It's long range season and time to get your gear ready. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. We are proud to be Southern California's premier Shimano dealer. We have the best Shimano has to offer, including Talica, Trinidad A, Therez, Stella, Saragossa, Tranx, Terramar, Waxwing, Colt Sniper, Flatfall, Torium, Tiagra, and too much more from Shimano to mention. Bottom line, we have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater tackle and the knowledge to properly equip you for your trip. Come visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing has been the choice of sport fishing anglers for decades with the largest fleet of long-range boats worldwide, complemented by Southern California's finest charter and open party fleet. From a half-day trip on the Dolphin to overnight trips or a long-range adventure, you can count on Fisherman's Landing to deliver the best. Check the website for all that is going on or call Fisherman's Landing at 619-221-8500. Book now at fishermanslanding.com.
XSRS 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
Oh, right.
San Diego's sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the mighty 1090. Lots going on here. Brandon Hayward from the Bite Journal and One Man Charters. All kinds of great fishing going on this morning, and we're talking about it, man. We want to hear from you again, 858-457-1090. That's the best way to get through. Let's jump right back into the phones. This time we're going to talk to John, who's calling us from Lakeside. John, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Brandon and Rick. How are you this morning?
Good.
What's up, John?
First, I'd like to give a shameless shout-out to all my buddies that allow me to scrub their decks over the years and catch trophy bluefin, yellowfin, dorado. And my one goal is this year to go out and catch a wahoo. So,
yeah.
Brandon,
no shame in
talk
that game.
To me about
no
what you
game.
Would do, that one thing that you would do if I go fishing tomorrow to target a wahoo.
I've never caught a local wahoo, so I don't think I'm, you know, really in a position to really give hard advice. I would just look for good water, and if you're way offshore, look for kelps, obviously. This is all real obvious, but troll around them, do a big circle around your kelps, fish deep with a bomb or a jig on your kelps, and just go into it with the attitude of, like, I don't care about these tuna. I am here to catch a wahoo. Mm-hmm. Drop your bomb down deep, troll your motors around them, and don't overlook the fact that a lot of wahoo get caught. It's not just an offshore fish. They're an inshore fish, too, on, like, fathom curves and little high spots and such. So if you were to look at a water picture in a zone that you usually fish, like, this sounds crazy, but, like, a zone that you usually fish, like, rockfish on or something like that, deep water yellows, and it's, like, good-looking water, like, I would not be afraid to grind up those areas with marauders and such, mm-hmm. for sure.
The one thing I will say, John, I'm with you, 100% with you. That's like all that's on my radar. And the only guy that I know personally that is more wahoo crazy than you or I or Brandon probably is Doug Kern from the Tackle Store. And that's like my fishing buddy. Doug and I fish once a week. That guy's got it horrifically bad. And if I could say one thing, it would do exactly what Doug did, and that's exactly what Brandon just described. An entire day of trolling, had nothing but the wahoo gear out. And, you know, throughout the day, you're gonna find kelps, and there's going to be dorado and tuna and yellowtail on them. If you spend a full day looking offshore, you're going to get stopped on those things. But there was never a kelp that Doug dropped something that wasn't a wired bomb, a big raider jig. And even when he would finally break down and it was wide open dorado, every bait that he threw was on a piece of 38-pound wire.
Yep.
A wide open spotted dorado is going to eat it, but I mean, if you're fishing for it all the time, the bite just has to happen. It's not like it's wide open. It's not like they're everywhere. You've got to get lucky and get the bite. But if you're prepared for that lucky bite, that's when you're going to get it, rather than, oh, my God, I exactly. wanted one so bad, and I got zipped off.
Yep. The way that I look at all fishing, like, this is one of the few kind of, like, rules I have for myself. I'm always going to be rigged and ready, not necessarily for what's biting right then and there, but what your next bite could come from.
Sure.
So in the summer, that meant, like, guys, we got to fish, like, at least like 50, because there's bigger tunas around, and like if we hook one on this, we can like hang on by our fingernails.
Right.
Of course, the guy goes, I'm going to drop down to 30, and they get spooled. It's just the nature of things. So if you go into it with that same mindset of like Rick was talking about, and just like only fishing things geared around that, I think if you have that opportunity, what's the definition of luck? When opportunity and preparation meet,
there you go. So
you'd be in a much better shot chance to get lucky.
The one thing I see, too, and there's a lot of debate on it, and we've talked about it on the show a bunch of times, and we talk about it in the tackle store all the time, is there's plenty of debate of people who like fishing real heavy fluorocarbon for their wahoo, whether it be on their Marauder or on their bomb or whatever. And I'm sure that there are times when bites come that way. I'm, like, the biggest proponent against that. You know, I mean, I just have seen... You know, I'll talk to guy. Oh, I had four or five before I lost it. You know,
right.
Wahoo, on anything that's not wire, you are going to lose that lure at some point. Now, you might be on a heater long range trip and have five wahoo in a row on a straight tied 6X Junior, or you might get bit off five times in a row.
And the thing about long range too, you're going to be in a position where you can just tie it. It can be like, LOL, I just lost five jigs in a row. I still got six today. You're going to fish for one bite for if you. Dedicated one day a week from now until Thanksgiving to fish wahoo, and you had like more than one bite, you'd like go buy some lottery tickets probably.
Seriously.
Right? Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Like long range, it's real easy to live with the consequences.
That's what
when
I'm
your
saying.
Next cast, you're just going to hook one,
right.
Probably kind of mindlessly. You know what I mean? Yes. But this is different.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, you want to if the opportunity comes, you got to take full advantage of it. And you know, big hooks, heavy line, those are the things that put fish on the boat.
Yep.
That's cool. Hey.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to go punch my ticket for time on the water.
Go get him, John. Appreciate the phone call
thank
very
you,
much. All right. I hope you get that wahoo. Next up, let's talk to another John. John in San Diego. John, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, John?
I wanted to ask Brandon, what's the strangest fish he's ever caught?
I caught one of those Escalar things on watch once. That was kind of cool. Otherwise, I've never caught anything that's just like... Whoa, freaky. That's the strangest thing that I've ever caught. I've caught some, like, different type of stuff in other seas and oceans and such, but in our waters, that Escalar was definitely kind of the one fish that I got, like, that was kind of trippy.
Now, what is an Escalar?
Escalar is in the snake mackerel family, and it looks like a blend between, like, a tuna, a wahoo, and a salmon, and they're black and they have freakish eyes. So, and they're a deep water fish. They eat squid. We're trying for, I had a deep drop, not deep drop, but I had a rig down 300 feet off the, I think we're off the north end of Cedros drifting after a day of tuna fishing. So, and interesting there, I don't think there's been any of them caught this
it's
year.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Remember during La Nina, it was like, if you drift during cold water La Nina 4 years, whatever, a handful of years ago, and you drifted around at night, like there were nights that some guys had like two or three. So that just hasn't been happening. It's one of those cycle things, which is kind of, it's really interesting.
Now, is it the Escalar or the oilfish that one needs to be cautious on consuming?
Oilfish, and they have two different types of tails, but they look fairly similar next to each other.
You mean the oilfish and the Escalar, or there's two types of oilfish?
There's a Escalar and there's an oilfish, or what are the two? There's two of those deep water black things.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I know that those are the two different.
One has a tuna-ish type, one has like a wahoo-style tail, like forked like that, and the other has a broom-style tail.
Right.
My Escalar and oilfish game isn't on point.
Yes, nor mine. It's lacking.
Yeah. There's two different types. One's bigger than the other.
Did that answer a question for you, John?
Yes, thank you.
Hey, appreciate the phone call very much. Terry in Allied Gardens, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Terry.
Hey, morning there, Rick and Brandon. How are the two of you today?
Good.
Doing great, Terry.
Good. Hey, just a call for Brandon there. I want to tell him thanks for all the good fishing he's taken me on. I haven't been lucky to catch a white sea bass yet, but that's going to happen. And one question is, have you gotten your rigged up for lobster yet?
I just went and bought 2,000 feet of rope the other day.
No more knots. Good.
Yeah. So I got all fresh rope and traps and... Got the puller for this year and everything, so I'm coming into it clean.
Coming in
for
hot.
For sure. And Terry, I think I can get you to come back sea bass fishing because you've been out twice and you've seen them both times. You know, it's not like they're unattainium. You've seen them. You've touched them.
My goal is to catch one, and it's going to be with you.
I hope so, buddy.
Wouldn't be with anybody else, I'll tell you that right now.
I appreciate that.
Tell us about the lobster trips, because it sounds like, Terry, you've been before, and I have been also, and I, when I came back, I raved about that to all of my buddies. That is such a cool trip, and I hate to say it from not just the fact that I had a great time and lots of laughs and amazingly successful trips, but it's just a lot easier to go on a rig that's dialed and ready, and you step on your boat and you step back off of it with a bag full of lobsters, and
sure,
you made it super fun. And give us a rundown on those lobster trips, because I'm telling you, and I hope everybody that listens knows, this is no smoke blowing thing for Brandon. I loved it. I had such a good time, and 100% I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, no, that was a good time.
That's for sure. We Brandon does good. We take off and we head on straight over to Catalina, and he has everything rigged up. And as soon as you get there, you start baiting up and dropping the hoops, and it's constant pull. It's not a wait. By the time you got your last one set, you're pulling the first net, and it's going like that, and he has everything there. His boat is fantastic for it. He takes care of you super. And if you ever go, you will have fun, and it'll be the best time of your life.
Well, thanks for that. Terry's like a lot of guys who come out. I get guys from San Diego who come up and do it because the lobstering just hasn't been as good as it has been the last few years.
Super tough.
Catalina Island, the front side of that thing's like, it's like a lobster reserve, practically. You know, there's a lot of wreck pressure, but there's no commercial pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ton of habitat there. There's a lot of zones for them. So it just works out really good for going over there. I have my little zones that I do. And essentially what I do is, this year I'm running out of Dana Wharf sport fishing, like the landing proper. So I'll be there end of October. I just look at what time the sun sets, and we determine what time we're going to leave in the early afternoon. But I do this thing. I'm doing it October, November, and then the last month of the season this year. If you don't get a limit, your next trip's free.
Because
that's how good the lobstering is. And
dude,
I tailor my lobster trips. I try to go around the new moon because it's usually better in certain tides and such like that. So that's my program. I charge $225 a person. Fishing, I usually charge $390, so it's less. I take four guys instead of three. But if you do the math on what it would cost to buy seven lobsters that range from 2 to 3.5 pounds.
I was just going to say, exactly. These are Catalina bugs.
Catalina bugs. They're like
the big ones.
Very little measuring going on.
Yes.
Very little. So,
I've got a trip scheduled real soon, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to having you guys back out. And Terry and his guys, they put in work. Like, they enjoy lobstering.
Yeah.
Lobster's interesting to me because there's a subset of people where they like lobstering more than fishing. Like,
yeah.
I'm not quite there yet. I still like fishing more, substantially. But but they're both really, really, really fun. And it's been an awesome, like, wintertime niche for me. And it's like a lot of things, especially in, like, heavily pressured areas, as more people go and do something and they have less and less success. It's the same thing with the sea bass. They want to go and have a high percentage chance of getting on them.
Pulling a lobster hoop off the bottom time after time to shake out one short and rebait your trap that a sea lion ate everything out of and then drop back down for nothing gets old fast.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, when you're pulling red hoops that are just they're shaking, and there's three legals,
yeah,
and there's five shorts, and then the next one has six legals and two, you know, like, you can't begin to get, you know, more excited than that. Like, you're fighting over who's pulling the next one amongst your buddies because you know it's loaded.
It's fun. And, I mean, I don't want to make Catalina sound like it's a utopia. Like, it's real easy to go over there and miss. And just like anything else, you got to have your zone and know where to go and what the good hard bottom is and where there's what you're looking for. You know what I mean? So I don't want to make it sound like you just go over there and just load up every single time. I just have my little zone and my little program that works out good for me over there.
It's clearly good enough that you're offering a free trip post limit, so
yeah.
I would say that you're fairly confident in what you're going to be doing over there.
It's been, I mean, last year I did like 34 trips, and there were three trips that we didn't get limits.
That's crazy.
So, and I only do the guaranteed limit the first 2 months of the season, just because weather and changes and whatever.
Yeah.
So if someone's interested in that, I'm still booking those.
Okay.
Even that stuff goes, everything goes pretty far in advance for me, you know, because you get people from the previous year, and you give them first right of refusal, and if people have success, they're coming back, usually.
How does somebody book that? Somebody wants to do one of the lobster trips? Somebody wants to just get way forward, book a sea bass trip, book a tuna trip with you? What
The best thing to do is, I have a website, onemancharters.com. It's spelled out, like O-N-E. And my schedule is up there. I even have I have three open party sea bass trips for next year that I put up there, one in April, one in May, one in June. So if someone, like, if you're really serious about it, I would get it early because their prime dates are around good moons and good tides and everything else. But otherwise, just call me after the show if you want to do lobster or whatever. And it's 949-212-0719. But basic Google search will find all that stuff for you.
Terry, appreciate the phone call very much. Glad you had such great success going out there with Brandon.
Thank you, bud. We'll see you in a month. Later next month.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Thanks, dear. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk coming your way, including checking in with the Catch Report. And I can tell you, this is going to be a very fun Catch Report because they are biting. You stay tuned. Lots more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
Do you like to fish? Have you ever seen the Eastern Sierra in the fall? Bishop has long been a great place to trout fish and experience the beauty of California's magnificent mountains. The Southwest Council Federation of Fly Fishers will be hosting the only on-the-water fly fishing fair in the western United States Friday, October 16th through Sunday, October 18th. Even if you have never fly fished before, everybody's invited. Best of all, you are just minutes away from fishable waters. There will be an exciting array of 80 seminars, events, and classes for beginner and experienced anglers. You can learn about fly tying, casting, and specific on-stream techniques. Get a first-hand look at local hotspots in Bishop with some of the area's top guides. Entry is just $15 for all 3 days, and you can register online now and secure the events that appeal to you at southwestcouncilfff.org. It's fun for the whole family, so make plans now, October 16th to the 18th. Check the website for lodging information, southwestcouncilfff.org.
The Sport Fishing Association of California is taking a leadership role to broaden the fishing opportunities for Southern California anglers. And Saturday, October 3rd, Pete Gray will be traveling to Ensenada, Mexico with the president of SAC, Captain Ken Frankie, and his staff to host a very important live broadcast from Hotel Corral and Resort in Ensenada. The broadcast will feature some key personnel from Mexico Fisheries and help strengthen the ties with the sport fishing fleet in Southern California and Mexico. They will also discuss the great fishing opportunities available in Ensenada. SAC's mission is to promote tourism through marine recreation and educational activities while protecting ocean resources. By working together with Mexico, we can show our care for the resources both at home and across the border, and our desire to take an active role to help protect the future of our fisheries. So mark your calendar for Saturday, October 3rd, a very special live broadcast from Ensenada, Mexico, with the Sport Fishing Association of California. Check California Sport Fishing .org for more information. The new Shimano Torium HG is here, and you'll be able to experience this fantastic reel now at your local Shimano dealer. The new Torium is up to 30% smaller than the previous generation, but still has the same line capacity. The smaller S compact body design and one-piece die-cast aluminum frame provides more rigidity and lighter weight. Torium now has EI surface treatment and is tested up to 700 times the corrosion resistance of past models. The new Shimano Torium HG is not only better on the outside, the inside is amazing, with a cross-carbon drag providing up to 24 pounds of drag pressure from a star drag reel. It has a sealed roller clutch and 6.2 to 1 brass gears. The machined aluminum handle has a larger knob to make it easy to crank in the big fish. The new lightweight aluminum spool gives you better casting and control. Available in three sizes, the Torium HG is the next evolution in compact, rigid, and powerful saltwater star drag reels. Get it now at your local Shimano dealers.
XSRF 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
The best NFL coverage is right here.
Caught inside the pylon for a touchdown.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
The summer fishing season this year was nothing short of incredible, and everyone I talked to is expecting continued success well into the fall season. Your San Diego County Ford dealers are having a remarkable summer, too, with no sign of slowing down. They continue to hook people up with a great selection of models that offer outstanding MPG and advanced technology, like the fun-to-drive Focus and the popular Fusion, available as a hybrid or a plug-in hybrid. Ford also has an impressive list of SUVs, like Escape, Edge, Explorer, and Expedition. Well, no matter what you need, Ford has an SUV for you. And for serious fishermen that have boats to haul and gear to move, you can't beat the Ford F-150. It's not only stronger than ever, it's 700 pounds lighter, so it's faster and more efficient. Bottom line, Ford cars and trucks and SUVs are built for San Diego. Stop by your San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
This is Greg Stotespray from AFCO. For over 20 years, AFCO has been known for its traditional fishing shorts. We now will also be known for our new line of next-generation fishing and board shorts. Our new M82 tactical fishing shorts feature quick dry, high tech, two way stretch fabric, zipper fly, six functional pockets plus pliers pocket, sublimated camo print, and our DWR finish so your shorts don't get stained. Also new to the AFCO line are the M25 Stingray board shorts. The Stingray board shorts feature new, quick dry, four way mind stretch fabric, modern zipper fly, two technical high cargo pockets with inverted zippers, silicone printed draw cords, along with our DWR finish to repel stains. Both shorts are new to the AFCO line and come in a variety of colors and sizes. These technically advanced fishing and board shorts continue AFCO's long tradition of providing the world's finest fishing and board shorts. Check them out today at Better Shops Everywhere.